Greetings, folks. Brown skin and glasses. They say I sound white. I'm Lamont. I'm here with Rhett Thompson. What's up, Rhett?
Hey, everybody in podcast land.
Hey, we're giving you a little extra. We're going to play a little Getting to Know You. Getting to Know All About You.
I love it that you're serenading me over candles and scones and there's flowers everywhere.
Well, that's how us Carlton-ass suburban Connecticut dudes do it. Anyway,
These are croissants.
This is just me getting over my complex from the last episode. This is what we're going to do. I went and I got, remember back when MySpace was a thing, before Justin Timberlake bought it, and there used to be all those survey things on there. I used to always like reading people's surveys. I thought that was interesting, a nice little glimpse into their world. So I got a survey, a little 20 questions, and I'm going to ask Rhett some questions. Rhett is not familiar with what the questions are. I just gave her like a sample of maybe one, like the first one we're going to do right now. Rhett, you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Subject today, Rhett Thompson. Comedian, stylist, and co-host of Brown Skin and Glasses podcast, due to be worldwide phenomenon, 0- months and counting. Okay. Question one. Rhett, what's your favorite candy bar?
My favorite candy bar, Twix.
Okay. That's a good one. Okay. Cookies.
Because I like the salty, sweet, crunchy, and caramel. And, of course, dark chocolate.
Do you just do the caramel? Do you mess with those peanut butter Twix?
No. That's total bastardization. I refuse to participate in that.
Okay. So, Twix. Yeah, that's a good one. All right. So, moving on, next one. Think back to your most important relationship. Was it at all your fault that it ended?
When you mean relationship, you don't mean like moms and
anyone,
stuff like that.
You're most important. I believe they mean male-female relationship in this one, so that's what we'll go with.
Okay.
I read it as male-female. So your most important male-female relationship, was it your fault it ended?
Absolutely not.
Of course, typical answer.
Okay, when you ask these questions, do I get to have like a very, very short rebuttal?
Sure.
Okay, well, I thought that dude was the love of my life. I swear to God, totally swear to God. And basically, I became the recipient of a Dear John letter.
Oh.
A Dear Johnette letter, if you will. Basically wrote me a letter. I was like, oh, wow, mail. And he was like, blah, blah, blah.
Dang.
I was like, oh, I love mail. You know?
So you were totally blindsided.
What?
Totally blindsided, did not see it coming at all.
I absolutely did not see it coming at all.
Oh.
To the point that I actually went to the post box to pick up said mail with one of my homies, one of my girlfriends, talking about said dude, and then opening up my mouth, I was like, oh, wow, look at this. It's a letter from the dude. And then I opened it, and then she's like, girl, what's wrong? What's up with your face? Why did it start turning red? And he basically wrote me this letter saying that he had a great time he went out of the country with one of his friends, and he proceeded to tell me that he thinks that she should become his wife. And I was like, oh, really? Okay, sweet. And so fast forward to the magic of Facebook, i.e. magic crystal ball of what your future could have been.
Right.
And he found me and he basically said, you know, I made a mistake by leaving you like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you, I think about almost every day, and you could have been the mother of my children. You could have been the mother of at least two of my four children here. And I just know in my heart we'll get back together. But there got to be some changes. First of all, number one, you're too outspoken. your intellect I find very intimidating. You know, you don't know when to speak when you speak. You hang around with too many dudes. I'm like, those are comedians. I don't care. You're going to stop all that. And that's when I said, pump your brakes. Pump your brakes.
Damn.
I know. So demanding.
So wait. He reappears after the letter, reappears. Hey, small talk, blah, blah, blah. And then he says, I'd like to resume, but you're going to have to do the following. And he's...
Basically.
All right.
Basically. You know what? Because, you know, that's the ballsiness of black men. This is why I both love and hate black men, because they can really... that was basically a summary. A summary. Mm-hmm. You know, my thing was like, hey, you know, I see how, you know, through the magic of Facebook, I kind of been flipping through your photos and seeing where your life has taken you. I don't think I would have been cool with that. And you know what? He had the audacity to tell me that I should have waited for him to grow up to meet my level of maturity.
Okay, so clearly you dodged that bullet, and that letter was the best thing that ever happened for you.
Booyah! That's why I tell people, you know what? God will give you what you need.
According to his riches and glory. Hallelujah! Exactly.
I mean, okay. And look, and that doesn't mean just because a dude makes you cry out the name of Jesus during certain times, mm-hmm. that's what you need.
Right. In that moment, that's what you need, but moving forward. Okay. All right. Next question. Who was the last person you were on the phone with for more than 20 minutes? I'm going to go ahead and answer for you and say the last person you were on the phone with.
You were the last person on
the phone? No, whoever the last person you were on the phone with, they easily got 20 minutes.
Who was I on the phone with?
Yeah, the question is, who was the last person you were on the phone with for more than 20 minutes?
Oh, Jesus.
And me answering for you is saying, whoever the last person was you were on the phone with last was the last person you were on the phone with for more than 20 minutes.
Okay.
So, okay, no need to answer because that's too specific, but okay.
No, actually, it was actually one of my friends, one of my dear, dear friends in New York who is also a comedian.
Okay. All right. Is there anyone you would seriously punch right now if you had the chance? Present company excluded.
Oh, I was going to say, like, through the screen? Through the screen? Oh, there's a lot of people I would love to punch in the face.
So you could name one right now. You could, I mean, you don't have to, but I mean, you can see their face in your mind right now.
Oh, I can conjure them up. I try to suppress these things.
Okay.
I, unlike you, I'm very good about suppressing my feelings.
What are you talking about? I'm a suppressing. Are you kidding? I am a cauldron with the top bolted on. I am suppressed as it gets. You do not call me uptight black man without a sufficient amount of suppression going on. It's when I'm able to explode. Okay. So next
all
question.
All over the croissants.
The croissant fell in the tub. Now you're sitting in flour mush. All right. Have you ever regretted letting someone go?
Oh my God. You mean being dumped or
no,
me letting them
you
go?
You letting them go.
Me letting them go.
And regretting it.
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay.
Yeah.
No further elaboration there?
Yeah. I didn't realize how much I liked that person or how much I really cared about that person until I let them go for really selfish reasons. Really, really selfish reasons. And only when, you know, I realized the error of my ways and really saw how badly I had hurt that person, that I wish that I had reversed time and gone back and not did or said some of the things I did and said.
Are you the and type? Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's fine.
Are you the type of person that has, that you can, if you were to list the mistakes in your life, like, do you have, like, a list of, like, some of the mistakes in your life? Does that even exist for you?
Well, you know, when I was younger, my parents divorced when I was very young. And my mom is Japanese, you know, so you have this woman with two biracial kids in the middle of Ohio, not, barely learning, knowing the language. You know, she clearly felt like she had made some mistakes and she had some regrets. And, you know, hearing all, not just with my father, but like different, you know, different turns she could have made but didn't make and all this stuff. And hearing that repeatedly, very specifically through my young life, I remember thinking at a very young age, you know what? I am not going to live my life with regrets. I will not do this. I can see, I couldn't understand it, but I was like, this can't be right. I will not do this. So I try my best not to think of it as regret. However, I do recategorize certain things and say, you know, if I could have, I would have done that differently.
So is that one guy that you let go on the list of things? Well, clearly it is, but does it rank high on that list or in the middle, or where is it ranking?
I think it's more like a sliding doors. I mean, you're a big movie
Never
fanatic,
saw the Gwyneth Paltrow Sliding Doors movie, though.
You did not see Sliding Doors with Gwyneth?
No.
Okay, well, Sliding Doors is basically a movie of like, you know, if you had to redo certain scenes in your life, if you took one path versus another, like one little moment, like versus you getting off of a train at a certain moment versus not and meeting a certain person, how your life would have turned out with that certain person. Now, I feel like if I would have ended up in the relationship and that would have been fruitful with that person, I think that on a certain level, I would have been very happy, but I don't think I would have been fulfilled.
Okay, well.
Because my life would have been in a totally different direction. I do not think, if I would have stayed with that person, or even the guy who wrote the Dear John letter, I mean, I think on a certain level, I would have met up to society's expectations of a woman of my racial background, education, whatever that, I mean, I would not, I sincerely doubt that I would be a comedian today.
Okay, so your regret is not so much that you let him go, but how you went about doing it.
You and your tricky mind questions. I think that my life would be different. And I think this is one of those things where, you know, God gives you what you need.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And clearly, I probably, if I would have ended up with that dude right now, I probably would have like 3 or 4 kids. I'd probably have a nice ranch style house. I'd be driving a very nice Lexus SUV, making a nice solid upper five figure income, mm-hmm. I'm sure. But yeah, I would not be doing this life. But maybe that means that a certain part of me would not be fulfilled, and we would have split up for something else. Who's to say?
Okay. Which leads to the next question. Are you open about your feelings or closed off?
Open. I would say that you mean, am I in touch with my own feelings?
No. Are you open about them? Meaning, are you willing to express how you're feeling all the time, or is it something that you kind of keep locked down and you're more action, or, you know, this is how I'm interpreting the question. So like when it says, are you open about your feelings? Like if something bothers you, do you tell the person that's doing the thing that bothers you, or you just let it happen and just deal with it? Like, or are you closed off where you just, you know, fix it in your mind and deal with it that way?
I would say that I am very closed for my feelings. I came from a background of, this is where I, big ups to the Japanese, that we're taught to suppress our feelings to a certain extent. There are certain things that you hold to yourself because you don't want to bring shame onto your family and to yourself or whatever. So, if someone were to hurt me, it would have to be to a certain level for me to have like an outburst and be like, oh, you hurt me, blah, I freaking hate you, blah. More likely than not, it would be a withdrawal. It would be a withdrawal. Now, that being said, I will say that my friends have told me you can tell when Rhett doesn't like you because it is hard for E to even interact with you. Like, look at you. I can't even stand being in your presence. I'll try. I will really try. But, yeah, it's really hard for me to, like, hide my feelings on that level. So maybe it's one of those things, like, maybe verbally I'm cut off from people. Like, I don't like sharing. I don't like doing all that. That's why I'm not into poetry, because that's too much being in touch with myself. That's why I'm not into being a dramatic actress. I'll probably be a character actress, not a dramatic actress, because I don't want to get in touch with my feelings. But on a certain level, my body's like, no, we're going to shut that person off.
Okay.
And not look at them.
All right. Would you go out in public looking like you do right now?
Ooh, what the hell does that mean?
With what you're wearing, with the way your hair, makeup, whatever, how you are right now, would you walk out of the house? Out in public,
actually,
not just out of the house. Out, would you go to Walgreens? Would you go to Publix or the supermarket? Would you go to a store, anything in public?
Oh, yeah, because this is what I wore today. My hair is up because I usually drive with my hair up because I have this thing against air conditioning in cars. So I like to drive with my windows down, but because my hair is so big, I can't have my windows down and my hair out because then I'll have car hair. Like the left side of my head will be like, woof, you know?
Okay.
So yeah, I will go all day. I will say that Miami has been such a positive influence on me because Miami has a lot of Latin Americans here. Latin American women of a certain socioeconomic class, they do not go outside without looking a certain way. If they don't look tight, it will not be right. They could be going to freaking Publix to get milk, and their face, their makeup, their hair, their outfit is tight. And I have to say I admire that, and that is kind of rubbed off on me. So, yeah. Am I a jogging pants, sweatshirt type of person nowadays? Nope.
Okay. Well, keeping it with Miami, do you like the ocean?
Oh, I love it.
Okay. Do you like cats?
I do like cats. I actually had two cats that I had with me since my days in Brooklyn. Unfortunately, both of them passed away of old age within a year of each other. Right now, I am catless and petless. Though the kid would really like me to get a dog. And I'm like, no.
Okay. Wait, what's the objection to a dog? You're just a cat person or dogs
too
much work?
No. Because the thing is, it's like, you know, she is an only kid and, you know, she wants a companion. I totally understand that. But the thing is, it's like a dog equals dog food. Walking it,
vet.
You know, doing stuff with it. You got to exercise. You got to get it groomed. You know, this high maintenance type of situation. I don't have time for that. And she's too young to take care of a dog. You know, and my thing is like, you know, who needs the added expense at this time? You know.
Okay. The next is a kind of a two-parter because the two are connected. Do you believe once a cheater, always a cheater?
Ooh, you mean like. I would say that once you go down a slippery slope, it's hard to get back out of that ditch.
Okay. Well, here's the part two, even though it's another question. But do you believe there are certain circumstances where cheating is okay? Now, this might not be relationship cheating. This could be like a test cheating at all. Do you believe there are certain circumstances where cheating is okay?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Do you think you're a good person?
Oh, good is such a loaded word.
Well, I guess it's between good or bad, so.
I would say that overall, I am a decent enough person.
Good person?
To most people, most of the time. But there is, you know, I'm not perfect, so obviously there's a huge chunk of me that has lots of room for improvement.
Do you think you're a good person?
Like, do I think I'm Hitler? No. I think I'm all right.
Okay. Could you seek revenge on someone? If you could seek revenge on someone, would you?
Oh, let me tell you, I am like a benevolent dictator at times, or I should say I have been a benevolent dictator at times. Have I quoted Samuel L. Jackson's Jules in the back of my head from Jules from Pulp Fiction? You know, vengeance is mine, mm-hmm. that type of thing, and the path of righteousness and all that, blah, blah, blah. Sure, of course.
Okay. Would you rather no heat in winter or no AC in the summer?
Oh, my God. Living in Miami? Are you kidding me? Ooh. The thing is, depends on the situation. Because, you know, no heat in winter. You could always layer up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
You can only get so naked.
That dynamic changes a lot. Yeah. And when it's hot as heck, you're like, get off of me.
Yeah.
Not as sexy.
Okay. Have you ever read an entire book in one sitting?
Ooh, yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Definitely.
What was the last CD you bought?
Oh, my God. You totally did get this off of MySpace. You couldn't have at least said what did you download?
Right. Okay, yeah. We'll bring that into this century. What was the last CD you acquired?
The Weeknd. The Weeknd.
Was that a mix CD or like a studio release?
Well, someone had led me to the link. I you know, sometimes, like, for me, music is literally like a soundtrack to life. It's really hard for me to watch videos anymore because I don't want their images in my head when I listen to certain songs. I want my mental pictures in my head. So, like, the first time I heard The Weeknd, ironically, I had a fantastic weekend. I actually did like a little gig on the road, and it was one of those things where it's like all the stars just kind of lined up. It was like a shitty, crappy bar, but I had a fantastic set. You know, like, it's one of those situations where you're like, damn, you know, I think I rock this shit better than the headliner. And then, like, the subsequent, like, after the show, and then, you know, you kind of hang out and party and you hang with comics, and, you know, it was just a fun, fantastic weekend. And ironically, that's when someone hooked me on to that, the artist, The Weeknd. So I would say of the pieces that I've recently acquired, and this, so obviously this was a couple years ago, but like a year ago. So, that's probably one of my favorite albums I download. And I can listen to that back to back, no problem at all. And then I have downloaded his actual album, too, which is great. I love him. I think he's awesome.
I have yet to check that dude out, so I think I will have to add that to my list. Okay. What was the last movie you watched?
The last movie. Does it have to be in the theater, or does it have to be...
Last movie, period.
Just a movie. Actually, the other day, I watched, I'm really big into, like, documentaries. Mm-hmm. And so, actually, I saw a documentary on, who was this? It was fascinating, though. Hold on. It was...
Were you talking about, a music guy or something?
It was what?
Were you talking about it, like, recently? Was it a music person?
Yeah, I was talking about... Actually, it was,
Damn, it's on the tip of my tongue.
I want to say it was Walter... Yeah, was it Walter White?
the high school crystal meth dealer, also known as Heisenberg?
No. Now it's like bothering me. Now it's like totally bothering me. I know who this is. This is... Don't spit on the croissants.
They're already in the jacuzzi. They're good.
No, because now it's like bothering me. I need to let everybody know now, because it was that fantastic to me, and it meant so much to me.
Meant so much to you that
it meant a lot to me. It meant a lot to me. Who the heck was this? This was. Yeah, now it's like becoming like more of a fun factoid. But you know what? I hope that makes people want to like watch it.
Yeah, you're selling it. You're selling the hell out of it right now.
Bated breath. They are doing that. I can tell. But I want to say it was crap. I want to say it was Walter White. That's what I want to say who it was. And now everything has crashed on me.
I'm pretty sure you talked about it.
It was a documentary that aired on PBS Independent Lens, and it was about the guy who he was one of the art directors, I guess you could say. He was one of the creators of the puppets that was on Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Okay. I don't remember his name, but yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
He also did the Smashing Pumpkins music video Tonight, and he's done like a host of other things, but to me that was like it was a fantastic documentary, and I highly recommend it to folks.
Okay. Good luck finding that one, folks. No. Okay. So
I'm going to find it. All right. I'm going to totally find it. Through all this Googling and stuff, everything's trash.
Three more. Does the news depress you?
Ooh. Does the news depress me? I'm a huge fan of the news. I grew up watching news, like, all the freaking time. Mm-hmm. And I used to watch news shows, news magazines, all that stuff 24/7. You know, like there was a time when 2020 came on like four or five days out of the week, I would watch every single one of them. And the 9/11 changed my whole attitude toward the news. You know, it's only recently that I've been able to watch the news again. Not quite to the same fervor as I did before, because now I feel like everything is so manufactured, very like, I feel like there's so many stories that are clearly planted by public relations firms that it's not really hard-hitting journalism anymore. No one's discovering anything new anymore or interesting or uncovering anything, you know. But I would say the news, does it depress me? No.
Have you ever trusted someone you wish you wouldn't have?
Yes. Clearly, with this questionnaire. I have. And every once in a while, I'll look back at, it was actually several different people. And sometimes it's like, wow, I can't believe that I actually opened myself up to that person. Ugh. For them to betray me in that fashion. And so clearly it's just another reason for me to close my feelings off to people.
Isn't that the worst? Betrayal? Betrayal. Being betrayed. I have trust issues. Betrayal's ugly. Anyway, okay, last question. Do you find that people don't really understand you?
Like, do people like, oh, no one understands me? Like that?
A little bit, I suppose, yeah.
I don't think that people misunderstand me, but I think that people assume certain things about me that aren't true. Like, I think that people, if you tell people that you're a comic, they might think, oh, she must be one of those damaged people. She must be one of those damaged people that, you know, was able to make a joke about stuff. You know, let's see how damaged she is.
I think that mostly works for strippers, though.
Yeah, yeah. Or they think that you're bulletproof. You know, if they think that you
that,
have
I think, is more of a comic thing.
You know,
I think damaged goes for strippers, bulletproof goes for comics.
Bulletproof for comics?
Yeah, for female comics at least. Like you say that people would presume that you're damaged. I say that's for strippers, but I think the bulletproof thing goes for female comics.
Yeah, they think that you're cool with certain types of jokes and certain types of criticism. Like, okay, I think that if you were at a bar, if you have a group of guys at a bar, they wouldn't tell a girl to her face unless they were total dicks. They wouldn't tell her, oh, you're such a whore. Oh, you're such an ugly, fat whore. Ha, 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 ha. You know what I mean?
Well, but, if Joe Pesci was in that bar, it's probably, anyway.
Yeah, but the thing is, I mean, I'm not saying that I've been called an ugly fat whore or anything like that to my face by a bunch of male comics. I haven't said that. But, like, there's certain jokes that, like, you know, that cross the line.
Yeah.
But because I'm a comic. And audience members, too. Like, they think that they can say those things, you know, and it's all cool because, you know, obviously I have, like, the neon sign comedian written over my head.
Well, Rhett, that's 20 questions. I have a question 21. Where can the people find you online to learn more about you?
You know, this is not how 50 Cent ended his rap song.
I ain't 50 Cent.
This is sadly true.
Actually, very true.
No, actually, the peeps can find me every Sunday at my open mic. I run an open mic down in Miami called Sunday Night Smash Up. Every Sunday, 8 p.m. sign up. It's at Artistic Vibes, which is 12986 Southwest 89th Avenue in lovely Miami, Florida. Also, on the second Thursday of the month, I host a comedy show called Loco Maloco. Let's hear some yolks at Maloco Innovative Food Gallery, 3201 North Miami Avenue, Suite 104 in the Midtown Miami shopping complex.
And Quills, what up? Vanessa, what up? Chelsea, what up? All right.
What up, Chelsea Diaz? Big ups to Chelsea. She's the one who was the mastermind behind the Loco Maloco show and also the lovely designer of our lovely graphic.
And Quills and Vanessa from Artistic Vibes, where you have your Sunday night smash ip. On Twitter, I'm aware that you're at Rhett Thompson, RHETTTHOMPSON, and you have a website, blackandeasechick.com.
This is correct.
I am LS Rules on Twitter. I also am affiliated with the Brown Skin and Glasses Facebook page, Stitcher, Tumblr, and iTunes, as well as the Facebook, if I didn't already say that, but I think I did. So check us out anywhere and everywhere, and please comment. So we're going to wrap this one up. For Rhett, I'm Lamont. This is Brown Skin and Glasses. I say peace.
Bye!